wonderful. Boy.
Said, what is man that he would even be mindful of us?
Yeah.
Just thankful that I know who Jesus is.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I forgot a while ago I had two prayer requests, and I had not wrote them down, and I just remembered them. If you'd write these down, I'd appreciate it. Gary Moore, one of the soldiers, has come many times and helped us do a Veterans Day or Memorials Day or 4th of July. Gary's been having tests for cancer and his lungs and everything. He goes for another scan, and I believe he said it was next week. And they're trying to decide what to do about things they found in his lungs. So pray much for Gary Moore. And I just forgot the man that owns a pawn shop over here by Lucky's. We just had prayer with him yesterday. Can't think of his name. Anyway.
Sam.
Say it again.
Sam.
I don't think that's right. Yes. Anyway, he is to have open heart surgery Friday. Just found out and had no problems. Doctor said, "Think I need to run a cath on you. I don't like what I hear." And he's 90% blocked all through, getting ready to have a triple bypass. Never had a pain, nothing, but he was a time bomb, didn't even know it. But he's having surgery. And we was able to have prayer with him yesterday. Clendenin.
No, his name.
Huh?
He's from Clendenin.
Oh. I don't remember his name. I couldn't tell. I don't know his name. I know his name. I talked to him yesterday. I can't tell you now. I couldn't call if he walked in the door.
Good thing God knows.
Yeah, the Lord knows. It's all right. Where's LaDawn? LaDawn, when I went home, I tried to call you, give you the name of Jack Woods. And you text me. We had mental block Sunday. And I started to wait till 3 o'clock and call you in. all right. Anybody else have problems? Hey, I got a traumatic brain injury also. See, there's things I can't do. Yeah, we do. We do. We have a reason. It's not even an excuse, it's a reason. All right. Yeah, who was it said he was old? Dennis? All right. Yeah, when you're old, it ain't because you got a bad memory, you just got more to remember. Yeah, that's what it is. It's where you're intelligent. You've retained so much and it's hard to recall. It's there. You know. So I want to be encouraging the best I can. That might be all you get. So. All right. Ephesians chapter 4. Who needs a paper? Should say on the top. Ephesians 4, 7 through 12. If you need a paper, hold your hand up. It should say Ephesians 4, 7 through 12. All right, they need some up here on the front bench. All right. Ephesians chapter 4, 7 through 12. I was studying there this afternoon, I was studying for this week and next week too, but as I was studying that song, Take Time to Be Holy, it goes right along with Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. If you'll listen to the words of the song. All right, so that's why I requested that song a while ago. All right, everybody okay? Everybody got a paper? Ephesians 4 is where we're at. Let's pray together. Father, I come, and Lord, you are wonderful. I fail you, it seems like, constantly, and I'm sorry. And ask you to cleanse me, strengthen me, help me. I'm trying to do better. Seems like I do worse. But Lord, I pray that you just strengthen me. I believe with all my heart you live inside of me. Help me to be submissive to your will and to your way and to your word. Lord, I pray just now that as you cleanse me, you empower me, help me to teach. Thus saith the Lord, what the word says, and may it change our lives as a church. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name, and amen. Ephesians chapter 4, and let's start at verse 7. I'm going to read down through verse 16. We'll not cover that, but I want to read it as it all goes together, okay? Everybody all right? Ephesians chapter 4, start at verse 7. It says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, unto the edifying of itself in love. Now we'll stop right there. And we're looking now, we looked last week at the ministry gifts and started that anyway with verse 11 is where we left off. On your paper, I have a mistake. All right, and I covered it last week. We'll make sure you have it marked. You probably already figured out if you read any at all. There on the in the middle of the page, on the front page, verse 8, where it says Psalms 66:18, it should say 68:18, not 66:18. It ought to say Psalms 68:18. All right, and so I apologize for that mistake. Okay, now down in the start of verse 10. Verse 8, let's stay with verse 8 here. It says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, we talked a little bit about gifts, just a little bit, and we didn't go into detail about the specific spiritual gifts. But we talked about how everybody does have gifts, and all gifts are given by God. And they're for the edifying of the church. They're not for the edifying of self, but they're for the edifying or the building up of the church, the body of Christ. Now, I want to remind you that this is not just the body of Christ. This is a congregation of believers as part of the body of Christ, the church of the living God, okay? Now, understand that. Now, we went on down, and verse 11 is where we stopped at, and he gave some apostles. And we started looking there at the last about the offices or the leadership of the church, the body, that the Lord gave. Now, when the Lord ascended back into heaven, all right, now he give us his comforter. He give us himself, the Holy Spirit. All right, he give himself. He said, I will give you a comforter. I will come unto you, there in John 14. All right, we looked at that. And he give him, and he works through us then. And then he give gifts to the body, which is the leadership of the body. All right, as well as personal gifts. But can I tell you that apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers are gifts to the church. They're gifts to the body. And they're used to help us grow. Okay? Now, I'm a pastor, but I used to have a pastor. All right? Brother Rick is assistant pastor, but he used to have a pastor. He was taught. Rick didn't get saved, and just soon he got through getting saved, he said, "Now I know everything I know, and I can teach Sunday school like I do now." And didn't learn it that way. All right, everybody has grown, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be maturing. We'll never be adults, but we're supposed to be mature children, not acting like little kids, unruly, not listening, not obeying. Right? We're supposed to be growing up that we mature, and that's why we have the officers or the leadership of the church that is still part of the body. Now, when we looked at apostles, it says, and he gave some apostles. And this is where we want to look at tonight. We're going to start right back exactly there. It said, now they were given 11 disciples and Paul. Now, the disciples were called apostles. All right. And Judas was mentioned in the numbering of the 12. Okay. But I want to explain some things about Judas. He never carried out the duties or the evidence of an apostle. So they were only 11. All right. And then Paul, as one born out of due season, became the 12th. Okay. Now, men throw dice and chose Matthias. And he had the qualifications. All right. But he was not handpicked by the Lord. All right. Everybody understand? So let's look here at the qualifications to start with and see what an apostle is, because there's no modern day apostles. Okay. Now, there are denominations that call themselves apostles, and they can call themselves a freight train if they want to. It don't matter, but it don't make them that. All right. Apostles are, there is guidelines and things that evident that makes one an apostle. So let's look at Acts chapter 1. And one of the first thing is that they had to be with Jesus during his earthly ministry. Okay, that was one of the things. Okay. Acts chapter 1. They had to be witnesses of his bodily resurrection. They had to be directly called by Christ, okay? And they were especially empowered to perform miracles, okay? That's what the apostles were given, that ability. Now let's look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, "Wherefore," now this is when Judas had already hung himself. They wanted to replace him, so the disciples met, 120 of them, they had met. They were going to try to figure out how to replace him. And so here's where we have it now. Verse 21. "Wherefore are these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the same day that he was taken up from us." So you see, it was the whole earthly ministry of Christ from the time he was baptized till the time that he ascended. All right. "Must one be?" It says, "beginning from the baptism of John to the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be?" Everybody understand it. "Must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection?" They had to see his bodily resurrection, see him. He was there with his early earthly ministry. They seen all that. Everybody understand? Talk to him if you understand. All right. Now, again, had to be witness of his bodily resurrection there, verse 22. "Ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." Now, look in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1. Now, the apostle Paul makes this statement now that he is an apostle. All right. Well, he wasn't with the 12. He wasn't with the ones that Christ picked out there at when he chose the 12. Judas Iscariot is always mentioned, and he chose them, and he puts and Judas Iscariot. He's always on the end. All right? Judas never completed the ministry, seeing the ministry of Christ. All right? Because he hung himself before Christ ever ascended. He never saw the bodily resurrection of Christ. He had already hung himself. So the qualifications, the only one that he had was that the Lord numbered him with the 12. Everybody follow me? That's really all he had. Everybody understand? But to be an apostle, you needed to have all this. Well, Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 9:1 said, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? So, he said, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. He's still an apostle. Now, let's continue on looking at 1 Corinthians 15. Now, this overrides everything. It does not change the scripture. It explains the scripture. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Speaking of the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15 speaks of the resurrection of Christ, speaks of the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and then he was seen, it said he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, then he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, and now look here at verse 8. And last of all, as Paul speaking, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as a one born out of due time. Now, he was not in the time to see the work or to be walk with Christ during his earthly ministry, but he was born out of due time. He was selected personally by Christ. He said, have I not seen the Lord Jesus? He met him on the Damascus Road. He was given his orders there. So, everybody understand? So Paul is the 12th apostle. All right. Now, there are not no more. There's not any more. Now, no one today can be an apostle because you're not going to see the resurrected Lord. All right? You're not going to do it. Everybody with me there? Now, look in Luke 6. Luke 6 is where Jesus numbered them by the 12, the 12, and he numbered Judas there. But I'm looking at that because of the hand-picking of Christ. And we know that Christ handpicked Paul on the Damascus Road. Everybody understand that? Look in Luke chapter 6, verse 13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Okay? So these, he had other disciples, but of all the disciples, he chose 12. All right, everybody sees that. And then he names them there. And of course he says in Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Okay, and make sure we understand that. And he was added in, but he was not, he didn't fulfill the requirements. Everybody understand? Talk to him if you understand. Look in Galatians chapter 1. Now, this is, we're talking about being called by Christ. Galatians chapter 1, it says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm an apostle by Jesus Christ. Not of men or not by man, but by Jesus Christ. All right? And God the Father who raised him from the dead. Okay? Now, look back at 2 Corinthians again. Chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now these apostles were given the ability to perform miracles. Now if you go back and read in the Gospels, he sent them out and they were capable of doing things. They were given the power to heal the sick. They were given power to raise the dead. They were given the power to cast out devils. They failed miserably. We have the account of the one father who brought his lunatic son to the disciples, and they could not cast him out. All right? It's not because they wasn't given the power, but because they didn't believe they could do it either. All right? Jesus told them this kind come nothing but forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. All right? If thou believe, all things are possible. These are things that were said, but they were still given that power. Now look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. The signs of the apostle were wrought. Signs, patience, signs, wonders, mighty deeds. All right, so that all comes with what an apostle was. Everybody understand? But there are no modern day apostles. Okay, that office, go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Now that office is closed, for lack of a better word, that office now of the apostles is closed. Now, the next one there in chapter 4, and he gave some apostles and some prophets. Now, this is something that's always run through fast. All right? And I believe it's run through fast because we don't pay attention. We don't really go back and study because we say, well, there's no prophets today. Well, now Paul is writing to the church age. All right? Paul is writing to the church age. Now, I'm going to use this. I was not there. Last week they had a jubilee down at Big John Smith's church down Tate Valley. And a shoemate, preached. Right? And, I don't know the shoemate. I know his grandparents. But I didn't know him. But anyway, knew his parents and his grandparents. But anyway, he showed an illustration because we hear about, well, that was in Bible times. That was in Bible times. And he got up one who, and he put back here like in Bible times, and he was Moses. In fact, he picked BB with his white beard and his white hair, and he had BB up there and gave him a staff and said BB was Moses. And then he had somebody else that was standing there, it was Joshua, I think. And somebody else, a lady stood there, and that was Esther. And then another man that was Simon Peter, and then he gives some for the people there in the book of Revelation. All right. But then he come back to where the Bible was written, and he said, here we are. Well, there's a lot of Bible on this side. There's a lot of Bible. But where we're living right now, we're in Bible times. Bible times is not Moses. Bible times is now. Everybody understand that? Everybody understand what I'm saying? So we're still in Bible times. This Bible's present. We're still in Bible times. Okay? Now, in saying that, all right, Paul's writing to the church and he says, and he gave gifts, apostles and prophets. Well, the apostles, Paul was an apostle. He was a gift to the church. Simon Peter, John, they're writing the New Testament as they lived. Everybody still okay? But now he says prophets. Now, where's the prophets going to come from? Everybody thinks the prophets is Elijah and Elisha and the minor prophets, Isaiah and all them, and all those, Daniel and all them. But it ain't just them. Okay? Now, there's no need for the prophets per se today because there's the Bible was fulfilled. It's already written. The canon of the scripture is fulfilled. Hang with me now. But in this time it was not. Everybody follow me? Talk to me if you understand what I said. Yeah. All right. So let's look at the prophets. They're not Old Testament men. These prophets in Ephesians are not Old Testament men. They are not. All right. But they're New Testament. Because these are gifts to the church, the body. They can't be Old Testament. Okay? The Holy Spirit hadn't come in Old Testament like He's come today. It's a whole different ballgame. Alright? So, it's not ordinary ministers of the Word, but extraordinary ministers of the Word. Alright? who had a peculiar gift, all right, of interpreting Scripture. In one sense, we still have some prophets to an extent, because there's some that can expound the Scripture a whole lot better than others as a gift. Are you following me? All right. You look at some that was famous in our area, in our time, of what we've listened on the radio and what, J. Vernon McGee. Through the Bible with J. Vernon McGee. Anybody ever heard of J. Vernon McGee? All right. I believe he had a special gift for going through the Bible, word by word. I think he had a very special. Oliver B. Green. All right. It's a different gift there to the church to bring everybody understand what I'm saying. Now you go back and you can even look at some of the old commentaries of Andrew Murray, John Gill. Of course, John Gill, a little Calvinist, but you gotta be careful if you read after John Gill. Be very careful. All right, but he's got some good points. Okay, F.B. Myers. You've got a little bit of Calvinism you got to watch. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Martin Lloyd-Jones took the big church there in England. Had like 600 people. And the longer he preached, the less he had. Got down to about 10. Then it built back up to about 1,000 or so. But he ran them all away because all he did was give verse by verse by verse. And they couldn't handle it. All right, then after everybody ran off, he started building it back up. All right, but you got to watch a little bit of Calvinism there as well. Are you hearing me? In case y'all know, I'm against Calvinism. Just want to make sure everybody understands that. We're on YouTube, ain't we? I want to make sure everybody understands that Preacher Mark's against Calvinism. Because you're not a Calvinist by reading the Bible. You're a Calvinist by reading other books. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. All right, I just like to throw that in when I can. All right, but we got people who are extraordinary. I don't know, anybody here ever heard of C.O. Roach? C.L. Roach was I don't even know how to describe him. He was a walking Bible. I mean, he was a walking Bible. He had an extraordinary gift. I mean, he could take a verse and I think he could preach a year and a half on half a verse. I mean, it was just what he could get out of a word was amazing. So that's what we're looking at here. We're looking at gifts to the church. Remember, these are for edification of the church. That's what these gifts are. That's why they are not Old Testament prophets. You understand? That's why this is not Old Testament. It's apostles and prophets now. And it's the same one that the church is founded upon. The foundation of the church. Turn back to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, let's look at verse 19 and 20. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now there was no Old Testament church. All right, now Brother Rick taught us about the church in the wilderness. That was for a certain time. But now we're talking about the church now, the body of Christ, is from Calvary and the resurrection till the rapture. Okay? And look at verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of who? And of who? We're not talking about Old Testament prophets there. Do we understand? We're not. Because the church ain't founded on Elijah and Isaiah and Micah and Nahum. All right. Now, well, who is it then? Well, let's look in Acts chapter 11 and see if we can't find one. Now, I don't believe there's a whole lot of them, but there's enough that's mentioned. Everybody okay? Now we got Jack Van Impe. All right, he was a walking Bible. He could throw some scripture out there from prophecy now. You know, what was the one that the late great planet Earth, what was his name? Hal Lindsey. Hal Lindsey's another one. Okay? These are men that were extraordinary with the Bible. Okay? Foretelling things to come. Now look here in Acts chapter 11, verse 27. And in these days, the church days, the book of Acts, when the churches are being planted, all right, and in these days came what? Where'd they come from? And where'd they go to? In Antioch, where they were first called Christians. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So he was a prophet, and it came to pass what he said was going to happen. What is a sure sign of a prophet? What they say is going to happen, happens. Okay? So we see a modern day prophet here in Agabus in the church age. Everybody understand? Now these are gifts to the church. I just want everybody to understand, when Christ started the church and instituted the church, he made sure it had everything needed to grow the way he wanted it to grow. And that's us. Okay? And these prophets today, if you want to call them that, have helped us tremendously. I believe John Yates could be included in this. Because he can sure bring out the scripture like I ain't never heard. Huh? Better than what I could ever hope to have in two lifetimes. Alright? So, the point is they're not ordinary ministers, but they're extraordinary ministers. Prophets with the hand of God on for the edification of the church. Are we still okay? Now, we have a complete Bible now. So there's no need for the kind of prophets today for telling all the future, because we have a complete Bible. Right. Now, explaining what's wrote down, I believe we have prophets today, but not to foretell new stuff, new revelation. There, if there's any new revelation, if anybody said, "Now God told me," be careful. Because then that must be revelation. We're going to have to add it to the canon of scriptures. Okay? Now, if he tells you what's already in the scripture, well, you just read it out loud. But if he told you something that's not in the scripture, then it's either not from him or we got to add it. So we better be careful how we say things. Because God don't tell us what we think God tells us a lot of time. Because it's contrary to scripture. Everybody understand? Talk to me if you understand that. Alright? So if anytime anybody tells you something's contrary to scripture, God didn't tell them contrary to scripture. Okay? We still okay? So there's no need for none of that. And, but for interpreting the scriptures, empowered gifts of God. Alright? Everybody understand? All right, let's go on. Now the next thing is evangelist. It says back in Acts chapter 4. Is everybody with me? Make sure we're back where we're supposed to be now. Ephesians chapter 4. All right. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. Now, these were below the apostles, in a sense, and yet they were above the pastors and teachers. Now, if when you read your scripture and you read your New Testament, all the epistles, they were with the apostles, companions, assistants in their work. And you can look at them as Philip, Luke, Titus, Timothy. Even though Timothy was a young pastor, Philip was used as evangelist. He was a deacon that had been turned into an evangelist, and the Holy Ghost picked him up and set him in the desert and special work. Okay? Everybody follow me? Now these were not fixed and stated ministers in any one place. Alright, now we got one in our midst tonight, in a sense. Alright, his name's Austin Crowder. He's not fixed in one place, but he's been preaching all over the country. Alright, that would be, he's not a pastor. And he's not necessarily holding revivals. He is carrying on the work of the church. Amen. So that would be a good example for us right now. All right. Brother Boyd now is a missionary. All right. And but Brother Boyd, and he'll be listening, was Brother Boyd a true evangelist? Well, just holding revivals does not make you an evangelist. That makes you a revivalist. There's a difference in an evangelist and a revivalist. Okay? If he was here, he would say amen. All right, we've had this conversation many times, but think about this: these were officers, all right, apostles and prophets and evangelists. Okay, now the reason that they weren't holding, they're not holding revivals. Now everybody, look at me, because biblically revivals are unnecessary. We have the Holy Ghost in our heart. We have God living in us, and we're not supposed to have revival. We have Christ that lives in us. We can have evangelistic meetings to see people come to Christ, but the church ain't supposed to have revival. Well, the church don't need revival. The church needs a repentance meeting.
Amen.
A repentance meeting we'll clean up the sin that we think we need a revival. We'll just clean up the sin where God will work in our hearts again.
Amen.
But that's not revival. Revival is not in the New Testament because we have the Holy Ghost living in us and we're supposed to be living holier than we're living.
That's right. Amen.
Are we okay?
Yes.
All right. Now these men were soul winners. Philip and Luke and Titus and Timothy, they were soul winners, ministers of the word, and they were calling for repentance. Calling out men and women, boys and girls, to believe the gospel. That's what they were doing. Our modern day revivalists, is what we call them evangelists, but they're revivalists. We call them to come in to try to stir the church because the church is dead. Okay? And hoping that a different voice preaching the same words will do something different. But it don't. It does no good. Well, I shouldn't say it does no good, but it don't bring revival because that ain't what we need. We need repentance, not revival. Does everybody follow me? That's not popular on the evangelistic circuit. I know that. Okay, but that's nevertheless, that's what it is. Look in Acts chapter 21. Is everybody with me? Everybody understand where I'm coming from? Acts chapter 21. I just want to show you that Philip was one of the evangelists. Acts 21 verse 8 says, and the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the what? Which is one of the seven, meaning of the deacon, and abode with him. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. Paul told Timothy, now even though Timothy was appeared to be a young pastor, look what he told him in verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Everybody see that? Do the work of an evangelist. So there it is different. Make full proof of thy ministry. Okay, back to Ephesians chapter 4. I think we'll quit right there. That'd be a good place to quit. It says in some... And some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists. Does everybody see the scripture? All right? Everybody see the scripture. I want you to make sure you understand the scripture. Okay? Now the next one is pastors and teachers. And here, both are one. They can be separate. They're one. All right? Pastors and teachers. All right? They can be pastors. They can be pastors and teachers. They can be pastors or teachers. All right? It's all working for the edification of the church. Pastors are considered an under-shepherd or a bishop, all right, caring for the church and its needs, instructing, teaching, leading, administrating administrative things, then administering ordinances, all right, the Lord's Supper, baptism, all right, pastors feeds the flock by the word of God, and shows the flock by example. Okay? All right, let's go ahead and look. We'll just finish this right here. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1. 1 Peter 5 verse 1 says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder." And Peter said, "I'm an elder too, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Verse 2 says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And that crown of glory has always been shown to be a pastor's crown. All right. Now, there are teachers who are gifted to teach, but may not hold the office of a pastor. They may not even desire the office of a pastor. All right. There was Brother Brownlee down at Shady Acres in Texas. Good example. I don't know that he ever pastored, but he's a great Bible teacher. Nothing but a Bible teacher. All right. But as far as leading a congregation, building a church, I don't know that, like that person, I don't know that he ever did. He may have. But you see, there is examples there. Now, there are teachers who are gifted to teach. They might not hold office, but maybe other than an elder. Then they are elder in a church, all right? Now, the pastor has qualifications, all right? Pastor has qualifications. The teacher does not, all right? However, it looks like the pastor and the elders are considered as one and do have qualification. All right? Is everybody listening? Let's look over there. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look at verse 1. "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." A bishop, pastor, teacher, pastor and teacher, pastor, teacher, elder. "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" Now look at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, and look here at verse 5. Paul's writing to Titus here. He said, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless..." Now he gives the elders the pastor qualification. "And if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer." So we see that these are gifts to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Okay? And these are not for self-glory, but for the glory of the body of Christ, for the building up, the edification of the church. All right? Let's go home.